Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be concluding our study today in the eighth commandment. Four simple words, but four very important words that you and I need to know and understand and obey. And that is, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the simplicity of the Word of God. Lord, there's no question as to what you desire from your people in regard to the eighth commandment, and that is that we are not to steal. We ask, dear Father, as we develop this truth today, that we might have open hearts to receive your word. Lord, it's so easy to let little things that we think are little slip by, and then habits form that lead to other sins. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, we might take to heart the eighth commandment today. We might realize its seriousness, realize its connection to the end times. And we ask, dear Father, that you would give us a heart for your holy word. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last time we looked at the testimony of some of the scriptures in the Old and New Testament regarding the eighth commandment. And I want to look today specifically at the concept of property. Because the eighth commandment, there is a certain assumption that is behind it. Actually, between the fourth and the eighth commandments, there's a connection there that I want you and I to have in regard to this important truth of thou shalt not steal. Now, the eighth commandment is found three times in the Old Testament and five times in the New Testament. It's repeated that many times. As we said, stealing is taking by force, threat, intimidation, coercion, treachery, or deception what belongs to somebody else. That's what stealing is. There are at least 40 synonyms in the English language for stealing. Isn't that amazing that we have that many words for stealing? It seems to be something that's pretty prevalent in society, and it certainly is prevalent in the United States of America. I was just reading on a website this past week. I went on to the judicial website for the state of Wisconsin. I had Googled in theft. And the very first website that came up was the Wisconsin Attorney General website. And there's a whole description of the things related to thievery. And I just could not believe all of the things that they're dealing with in the state of Wisconsin. Most of them having to do with the theft of intelligence property. That is somebody's property that they wrote. Books, CDs, DVDs, the shipping in of illegal DVDs from China, where they go and they'll make copies of this property, they'll send it back in, it's working its way into Wisconsin, it's on the streets. And they're dealing with that. Dealing with all kinds of different kinds of theft, with intellectual property, with stealing personal property, taking what does not belong to you. And then all of the differences between the kind of theft that there is. And I read that and my mind was just trying to wrap around all the different things today that man has invented in regard to stealing. What can possibly be stolen? Just about everything. The problem with stealing Social Security numbers, bank accounting or routing numbers. You got to be careful these days, folks. You've got to make sure that whenever you get rid of an old computer, you better make sure you've gotten rid of everything that's on that computer, because somebody will come along and they'll get that information, and next thing you know, you'll find your bank account empty. Because we live in a society of thieves. And not just our society, but around the globe. How many of you have gotten an email in the last 6 months from Nigeria? Would you raise your hand? All right. I've never been to Nigeria. But there's a lot of people that love me in Nigeria. I get at least one a week. I don't know who got a hold of my email address, but I get a Nigerian email, and it's Dear Reverend Dr. Todd Brainerd. Now, you know something's up there. I'm not even a nurse, much less a doctor. And it says, Dear Reverend Dr. Todd Brainerd, Madam so-and-so has passed away and has left $6.5 million for you. Woo! Glory! I've got a rich relative in Nigeria. No, I don't. All we ask, this is the catch, is if you'll provide us with your bank number, routing number, we'll make the deposit into your bank account. Now, first of all, those are going to be the most disappointed Nigerians that ever tried to steal something. Because whenever they see the bank account, the routing number is longer than the numbers inside the bank. I mean, that's just the way it is. They're going to be disappointed. But I get at least one of them a week from Nigeria. I've even gotten one from Laos. I didn't know I had somebody in Laos that was concerned about my financial welfare. But you'll get those kinds of, why, what are they? Thieves. They are thieves. And through deception, they're making you think they're going to give you something, but what they're going to do is they're going to take something, because once they get your bank routing number, you're toast. They get your Social Security number, you're toast, if they know how to work the system. So you got to be careful about those kind of things. You cannot assume that everybody is nice and sweet in this world. Everybody with a grin on their face is not smiling because they like you. They got a grin on their face because they're going to try to take you to the cleaners. And they know how to work people. They know how to deceive people. How many times have people been deceived by someone with a nice bright smile, and boy, they know how to talk and just say the right things, and they put their arm around you, and they must like me if they put your arm. And you know, they'll use honey, sweetie pie. They'll use words, you know, it's an amazing thing. It's a growing phenomenon today with deception, of people using honey and sweetie and all this kind of stuff in phone conversations. It's more and more prevalent. I was on the phone this past week with somebody that was throwing out those kind of things, and they were trying to sell something. They're not concerned about, you know, that they really like you or whatever. They want you to buy something. And they use these, what we call weasel words. They like weasel words, and they'll do things, and it disarms a lot of people. Because we like to be called honey and sweetie. And they must be nice people. Not everybody would call me honey. Especially after they got to know you, you know. And you probably haven't heard it for 30 years. And somebody comes on there and says, honey, sweetie pie, and sweetheart, and all that kind of stuff. And you're pulling out your wallet to write the check to whatever they want. They must be nice people. Thieves! Stealing is often at the root of more serious crimes of violence and murder. It is also one of today's most overlooked crimes. One of the most overlooked crimes, in my opinion, and we're seeing this today. You know what it is? It's a principle of thievery that's in place. That we can basically steal money and use that to pay our debts. Won't work. Now, I'm not overtly political, but I want to tell you something. Our nation's in trouble. Our nation's in trouble. We are building a nation. We are training our children today in the public school system that they don't know how to be discerning and to ask questions about what's taking place here. Can you imagine operating your family with that kind of principle? Well, you'd be in debtor's prison trying to operate on that principle. But somehow we can get away with that elsewhere. Now, legislating and participating in theft in so many different ways. When theft is not condemned and punished at every level of society, it becomes one of the chief contributors to the collapse of a nation. Can I say that again? I want to leave you with that thought today. When theft is not condemned and punished at every level of society, it becomes one of the chief contributors to the collapse of that nation. I told you about the cashier down at Walmart that I met a week or so ago when I was in Walmart, and they had taken out all the self-service stations where you go and scan that kind of stuff. And I asked, I said, what happened to that? That was kind of a nice feature. He said, yeah, it sure was for the thieves. Stuffing stuff in their pockets, and then whenever they would get up there, they would pay for a few items, and then they would put the rest of it, pile it in there, after in their bag as they were walking out the door. And so we were losing all kinds of stuff and money as a result, so we had to take it out. I thought man was basically good. Doesn't he have a spark of divinity within him? All we have to do is fan the flames a little bit, and whew, out comes this great person? No. The Bible has been true all along, has it not? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We don't like that word desperately, do we?
Well, you know, there are bad people in the world. We all know that. But basically, everybody's good. No, we're all mercenaries at heart. We're all thieves at heart. And it's but by the transforming grace of God that we can be changed in a second, changed by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts through salvation. I want to say that again. At the moment of salvation, you don't have to have a second work of grace 5-6 years down the road where you finally get everything. You know, you can commit sin for 5 more years after you get saved, and all of a sudden you have this sanctification moment. No. When God saves, He transforms at that moment. He makes you into a new creature. He doesn't just fix part of you. He doesn't just fix up a little segment of your soul and He says, all right, that'll do until 5 more years you come back and see me. Can you imagine a doctor working that way? You know, you've got this pervasive cancer in your body, but I'm going to take out just a little section of that cancer and you come back and see me 5 years and I'll have a cure for you. Are they going to be around 5 years from now?
No.
Not likely. The same thing's true of a sinner. God doesn't perform a little bit of surgery on us and say, come see me in 5 years and I'll give you the rest of your sanctification. No! By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's in the transformation business. And He takes you from the kingdom of Satan and puts you in the kingdom of Christ in a moment. And you are indwelt immediately by the Holy Spirit of God. If we don't have that, we don't have salvation. That's all there is to it. And He can transform you from being a thief to where you're not a thief anymore. I believe in that. He can transform you from being an alcoholic to a non-alcoholic by His transforming grace. Do we still believe in that kind of gospel? I'm beginning to wonder. In America today, yesterday I was out at the cemetery and the cemetery director was there and he was telling us about a big squabble that was going on. Said that the new church pastor decided that the funds that were in the cemetery could be better used in the youth department. So he transferred all the cemetery funds over to the youth department. And the cemetery director in case said, oh, wait a minute, that's illegal. The contributions that have been made to that are designated funds and therefore they must be used for that purpose. And you know what the pastor's response was? We're not about the dead, we're all about the living. Where did that come from? We stole from this account and put it, because we're all about the living, brother. We're not about the dead. No. We try to justify that. It's stealing. And if the IRS found out about it, somebody might be going to jail. You just don't do that. It's designated. It goes in that fund. It stays in that fund. It gets used for that purpose. So we justify thievery by we're all about the living, we're not about the dead. Well, you know what this guy said? It was so funny. I had to start laughing. And he said, well, here's a news flash from the living. I better see the bank account with that money back in it or I'm going to the IRS. And it was amazing how the youth department coughed up that money and it went right back into that account just like it was supposed to be. Stealing is stealing. And there's no righteous cause for it. It's never right to do wrong. Now, property is inherent in both the fourth and eighth commandments. The fourth commandment stipulation concerning 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work says something. Why are we working? Because we have to provide. We have to provide for our families. We work to purchase property so we'll have a place for our family to live. So there's an assumption in the fourth commandment, right? 6 days shalt thou labor. Those dollars that are raised in the labor is for the taking care of the family and the purchasing of property. Defense of property, even to the point of the use of arms, is also implicit in the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Listen to these verses. Exodus 22 and verse 2. If a thief, now verse 3 gives us the context. It's at nighttime. All right, of Exodus chapter 22, you have to go to verse 3 to find out what time of the day this took place. If a thief, and we'll plug this in, at nighttime, be found breaking in and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him.
That's pretty clear, isn't it? Thief breaking into your house, and you decide to pull out your security guard, 357 Magnum, and you take care of the issue, all right? Now, in Florida, you can get, some states you can't do that. Florida used to have a law that they had to be inside your house before you could. That's not the case anymore. They changed that law a couple of years ago. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not giving any kind of legal advice in this regard. But I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. In the Old Testament economy, if a thief broke in at night and you pulled out your shepherd's crook and you took care of the situation, it says here, he be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. That means you can defend your what? Your property. Let's go on. This is in Luke 11:21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, a better translation of palace there is his homestead. His goods are in peace, that is undisturbed. Luke 12:39, and this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Now, how do you suffer someone not to break into your house? That's old English. All right? Let's put it in more up-to-date language. How do you keep the joker from getting inside your house to steal your goods? All right. Well, you keep the door locked, but some of them have ways of getting inside. And you have to defend yourself. All right? There are lots of things that are available today to us because of that. We have the proliferation of these security systems. I love the sign that's out, this house guarded by Smith & Wesson. I've seen this one, Luger lives here. All right? So, there's ways to do that. But they also have these electronic systems that you can punch in your number or so forth like that. And if somebody tries to get in through a window or a door when they're not supposed to, it sets off the alarm and so forth like that. But property implies protection of that property. Property implies ownership. And ownership entitles the owner to do with his property whatever he wishes, provided he does not violate the law or violate the rights of someone else. Matthew 20:15. Listen carefully. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? That's the basic statement of ownership. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Private ownership is biblically sanctioned, provided that it is obtained lawfully and kept in its proper perspective. Now, this is where we get all twisted out of shape. We own property, and it becomes our little gods, you know? Somebody comes up to the house. Hey, Bubba, can I borrow your shovel? No. You're not borrowing my shovel. That's a special shovel. Nobody borrows the shovel. All right? Well, do you have an old shovel? No, I do not. And you cannot borrow the shovel because the shovel is special. And we have this idea about our property, and we treat it like, now, you know, there are certain things, obviously, that you may not want everybody in the neighborhood to use. But I want to tell you something. Shovels can be replaced. And if they break it, they ought to make it right. But we have become so possessive of our material things. If somebody comes up and asks for something, say, can I borrow your loppers? I've got something. We go out and we get the old rusty, nasty thing that wouldn't cut through hot butter. And we go out there and say, here you go, Godspeed. And there's not going to be any speed. They'll sit out there and they'll gnaw and gnaw and gnaw and gnaw. And they bring it back and say, hey, thanks, Bob. Appreciate that. When you had two or three other decent pairs you could have given, but you were afraid that it wouldn't come back. Afraid? Please. You know what? God wants us to use His cutters. You ever thought about it that way? Everything in your shed belongs to Him? Wow. Yeah, that's right. Everything belongs to Him. And He lets you get it and put it up in there and hang it up in there so only you could use it.
Are we not to have a little bit better understanding of God's property? Now, we don't want people to abuse it. And you can give some instructions with your stuff. But listen, if you've got the miser attitude, you don't know anything about this Bible and about God. You don't know. He sent His only Son to die on Calvary's tree. If you ever want a lesson in giving, folks, all you have to do is go to the cross. Just go to the cross. The cross will help you out of your materialistic ideas and concepts about your property. It's not yours. It belongs to God. Private ownership is biblically sanctioned, provided that it is obtained lawfully and kept in its proper perspective. Listen to this verse from Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. In other words, that vanity there is fraud. You take it by fraudulent means, it'll be taken from you. It will be diminished in its value. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Property can be lawfully obtained by inheritance. Proverbs 19:14. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Proverbs 13:22. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. So it can be passed down to the next generation. But all property, the Bible says, belongs to God. This was a lesson that He taught the children of Israel. Exodus 19:5. This is before the Ten Commandments. This is what He said to the children of Israel. And I'm just taking a little portion out of that long verse. It says, all the earth is mine. That's what every Israelite child grew up with hearing in their tabernacle, their tent that they lived in. All the earth belongs to God. All the earth belongs to God. What a lesson for our children at Grace Bible Church. Everything belongs to God, and you ought to take care of it. Leviticus 25:23, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. I'm letting you live on it, children of Israel, but it belongs to me. What a lesson. God has blessed us with everything we possess and placed us as stewards over His property. We don't have time to look at several verses of Scripture related to that, but let me just say this. As stewards of God's gifts, Christians should regard wealth and property with a view toward furthering the Lord's work here on this earth. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things, material things, shall be added unto you. If I'm seeking after the things and I'm not seeking after Christ first, then I'm stealing. I don't have a proper understanding of property. Now, private property and the rights that are afforded to property owners is fundamental to understanding and applying the Eighth Commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Now, I'm going to just take you on a whirlwind trip through the Bible. Just a couple of examples here, a few examples from the Old Testament and the New Testament of stealing. Genesis 31:19 and verses 34-35 tell us the sad account of Rachel stealing from her father's house. Now, what did she take? Did she take garments and all that? No, what did she do? She took her father's idols. Boy, that was going to cause problems in the house. When we come to Genesis 35, we see God confronting Jacob, and the whole family said, get rid of those idols that Rachel stole. She stole the gods. She didn't go up to her dad and said, Dad, I want to take them. She wanted to keep it secret. She knew that Jacob had a problem with it, but she was going to just, you know, I'm going to bring these back with me. I've got to have a piece of home. Well, take something else. But why'd you bring the idols? She brought them all the way back, and what a plague they were to her family. I think about Achan in Joshua 7:11. One of the examples there of Achan stealing what belonged to God. The Jericho walls had tumbled, and they had been told, the children of Israel had been told, don't take anything. It all belongs to God. The spoils belong to Him. This was the first fruits of the land as they went in. And that Jericho was the first to fall, and that belonged to God. But there was Achan said, I'm going to take a little bit back. So he took some garments and he took some gold and he took it back and he buried it down in his tent, dug a hole, buried it. Isn't it interesting that he had to hide it? He was so brave to take it. Wasn't his, but he went back and he hid it. And when the children of Israel went out to fight Ai, 36 men were killed. And Joshua said, Lord, what's going on here? This was just a little grease spot in the road. We should have had a victory here. And he said, stop your whining. You've got sin in the camp. And they went through the whole nation. That's a lesson, is it not? God could have said it's so-and-so and it had been all over with it. They went through the whole nation. Everybody was asking themselves, who stole? Was it me? Did I steal from God? You know, you need to ask yourself that question. And then we find that his family were taken out and stoned to death because of their iniquity. Solomon warned his son against get-rich schemes in the Proverbs, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Translated, unpunished. Get-rich-quick schemes. Ponzi schemes. Lottery. All of them. It's not noble. It's not right. Proverbs 28, verses 20 through 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. That's what the Bible says. Trying to get rich quick. David, Solomon, and Paul warned that the pursuit of wealth should not be an end in itself. If riches increase, set not your heart upon it. Psalm 62:10. He that trusteth in his riches shall fail, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Proverbs 23:4. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Proverbs 23 and verse 4. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith and pierced them through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. Is the Scripture any more clear? I think about Micah in Judges 17 and verse 2. Micah stole silver from his mother, and she kept nagging, where's my money, where's my silver? Till the point where Micah said, Mother, I stole your silver. And you know what she said? Get this. Blessed art thou, my son. What? He stole your silver, and it's blessed art thou, my son. You know what I'm going to do, son? Because you brought my money back, I'm going to take 200 pieces of silver there, and I'm going to make an image unto God in honor of you. Boy, what, isn't that something? He got honored for stealing his mother's silver. Does that sound familiar today in our culture? I think in the New Testament of Judas, John 12 and verse 6, who stole from the treasury, he pilfered the collections, taking what he thought was a keepsake, something that he could keep. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. We'll not take time to look at that. But they were supposed to bring everything before the Lord. And Ananias said, I brought everything. You can't lie to God. There have been a lot of people. You know, if this was still in effect today, there would be a lot of empty pews, I'm afraid, all across America. Oh, Lord, you touched my heart to give. And you gave some little penance and you kept all the rest of it for yourself. Ananias and Sapphira that day brought their offerings to the Lord and they were carried out dead because they sought to steal. They sought to steal what belonged to God. How does God close the Scriptures on this subject? I want you to turn with me to Revelation 9:21 in closing. I found this to be very interesting. Revelation is the last book of the Bible, God's last word to man. Notice what he says here in verse 21 of chapter 9. Let's begin reading at verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, idolatry pictured there. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, that's the word pharmakia in the Greek, which talks about drug use.
nor of their fornication, nor of their what? Thefts. J. Vernon McGee had something very, an interesting observation that I'm going to leave you with today. He writes, "We are told in this verse that they were guilty not only of sorceries, of indulging in drunkenness and in drugs, but also of fornication which led to thievery. It is alarming the way that adultery is being practiced in the United States. It is promoted as an evidence of our liberty and of our tremendous advancement of civilization. It is interesting that instead of playing the Requiem, this crowd wants to sing and dance and say that the race is improving. Sorceries, fornication, and thievery are going to be increased and a greater emphasis placed upon them in the last days. I believe that Antichrist will use all three of these to bring mankind into subjection to himself." Isn't that interesting? That was Dr. J. Vernon McGee's observation in regard to this, and I believe it's backed up by Scripture. These three, sorceries, drug use. What's the big push today? Legalize drugs. All right? Legalize drugs. Second thing, fornication. What's Hollywood all about? Fornication. What's our entertainment base in this country? What's our television moving to? Nudity, pornography, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, the list goes on. It's played out on the television screen. And then the third thing, thievery. Taking from one and giving it to another. We call it socialism. Socialism. Taking from the rich to give to the poor. That is what? Stealing. Thievery. You know what it is? It's trying to make everybody what? Egalitarian society. Everybody equal. We don't have the wealthy and we don't have the poor. Everybody's the same. That's the heart cry of Antichrist. And stealing is how it will be accomplished. Our society around the world is being desensitized to stealing so that the Antichrist government can be established. And when that will be, I don't know. I think it's going to be soon. But you need to understand the times. You need to understand what's taking place. Thou shalt not steal. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, how easy it is to let a little bit of stealing be condoned in our hearts, taking something that doesn't belong to us and keeping it for ourselves instead of making sure that it's returned to the owner. Those little things build up, especially in children's lives, teenagers. They become used to that. They develop a habit, and the next thing you know, that they're doing far worse. Our prisons are full of those that did not have this simple four-word principle established in their hearts, thou shalt not steal. Lord, we realize that in the last days this will become more prominent. This is how an egalitarian society will be established, where we're all equals, we're all the same, all of our religions are the same, all of our people are the same. It will be done through thievery. Lord, we pray that as Christians we might have a noble and honorable testimony before this darkening world, that we do not steal, we do not take what does not belong to us, but that we are honorable, we are careful to maintain the testimony of Jesus Christ in our lives. Lord, we've looked at so many different passages of Scripture today. Your word is so clear about this matter. We ask, dear Father, that you would establish this principle in our hearts. If there be those here without Christ today, we pray that they might come to a saving knowledge of thee before it's eternally too late. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.